We hang up a whiteboard and take turns scrawling our thoughts across its surface. I write, I don't know where to put my feelings, and they turn my thoughts to allegory, building a skyscraper on a wooden raft, hurtling over rapids to a chorus of furtive hammering. Activity, constant construction, so desperate, so futile, so necessary, so important. Toby writes, I'm giving up sex. I'm not interested in fucking anymore. From now on, I'm in it for the romance. The only good thing about a list is when you get to cross something off it. He writes, I could be happy in this city, then crosses it out, continues, if only I could convince my parents to move here. I love my parents too much. Moving down the list, we deconstruct each other's sentences. Toby speaks fast, reductive, using his fingers as if his thoughts came ready-made, like a phone notes list poem. Yoni, I know exactly what you're talking about. This morning, you were standing on the bridge, looking out over the city. You saw A, video advertising board, keyword eyesore. B, buildings packed into the cityscape like rows of sickle teeth, apartment blocks, old warehouses, plots of rubbled land, dug out and rigged up, ready to be overwritten, keyword annihilation. From where you're standing, the whole city seems tacked together with scaffolding, so decked out with metal that it looks as if it's wearing braces. Keyword displacement. C, glimmering somewhere beyond the horizon, you spy the sun. It blinds you momentarily, burning black spots into the backs of your eyes. What do you really see here, Yoni? Keyword, contingency. Toby brings it all back to the here and now. He's using all of my words. He just repeats all of what I've said back to me. Out of his mouth, it all seems kind of, I don't know. Look at us, Yoni. Just another couple of almost strangers on the brink. Rubble is piled up at our heels and we face the ulterior, towing the abyss. Do you remember when we found this place, Yoni? You said, but Toby, the building, the entire street is a construction site. I replied, so is the whole world, Yoni. So what does it matter? But now I realize that it does matter. It is crucial, Yoni. You and I both know that us finding this empty shopfront in this street, in this city of hammers and rubble, is absolutely not a coincidence. Several weeks or years ago, I bought a massage table advertised in the internet classifieds. I showed up at the seller's address with a rent by the hour transporter. He handed me the table. I handed him the cash. That was it. Later that night, I got a phone call. It was the guy who'd sold me the table. He said, that table I sold you is a piece of rubbish. He said, I'll find you a better one. No problem. I have the time. That's all it takes. What can you offer me? Don't worry about it. I feel bad for selling you a rubbish table. 3 days later, he showed up with another massage table. He set it up, and then he set up the one he'd sold me earlier that week. He pointed out how the one table was flimsy, how it didn't hold its recline, how the padding was thin, how it smelt like petrochemicals and stood crooked on three legs. He asked me what I needed for the table for. I told him about the courses I've been taking. Electromagnetic field balancing, facial mobilization, guided imagery healing, pranic healing, vibrational healing, genital massage, genital healing, interpretive sexual healing, vaginal exorcism, visceral manipulation, Rohan transformation therapy, somatic psychology, Grimberg method, alchemical synergy, Alexander technique, attunement healing synergy, asymmetric body balancing, inspiring homeopathy, color therapy, and energy flow balancing therapy. I told him that I was looking for a space, a room to rent, to set up a clinic, so I wouldn't have to treat clients out of my kitchen. I offered him a free session. Whatever technique you like, I'm learning them all simultaneously. He declined my offer, but said he knew of a space, somewhere that would be perfect, an empty shopfront on the ground floor of a building where his friend lives. That guy who sold me the table, with a friend who lives in the building, with an empty shopfront, that was Toby. And that is how we met. The next day, we went to look at the shopfront. He negotiated the rent down to 2 digits by saying that we'd be using the space as a storage room. 2 days later, we clapped out a sandwich board and opened up shop. It takes me half a day to arrange my potions on a shelf. Toby fills several storage rooms with mountain bike parts in less than an hour. Then he drags a sun chair out onto the street, spends the rest of the afternoon searching through the classifieds for deals for bike parts on his phone lying in the sun. The shop, we're told, used to be a private surgery. There are no halls or corridors. The entrance that could have been both waiting room and reception opens directly into another smaller room, which leads into another even smaller room and another and another and another, each small dark room burrowing into the next even smaller and darker room, so that the space, though not large, is capable of labyrinthine deceit.
My nose. A nose is a centerpiece of one's face. Nose, mouth, navel, vulva, anus. They are in a line right in the middle of an outer body. What is going on inside a body, I don't know. I know it is gray. I fixate on my nose and the noses of others. I have no special feelings for my own. It's the centerpiece. It is not visually living up to what one hopes for. It does, however, function pretty well. Perhaps too well. It easily spots perfume wearers, fabric softeners, and Pantene shampoo users. Hey, Febreze sister. My nostrils frown. I'm not your sister. My nose is pretty straightforward. Mrs. Dalloway said she would buy the flowers herself, and so did I. I am thinking about which flower shop. Should I go to the one that sells little wild flowers? Should I go to another one that sells fun flowers? The pumped up kinds, full of chemicals, full of colors, the voluptuous. I choose an in-between, Globe Master. The one with a large round head made of many small violet florets. A big head on a skinny body. I have always liked big heads. It is not I'm against small heads. I just prefer big. It's nice. You have a big head. You have a big face. It looks good on you. The mouth on the big face constantly murmurs something. Some hit and miss. Don't you think an artist is a Catholic priest rather than a Protestant minister? Don't you think an artist must always take a bath, floating, letting things come and go, observing it all from a distance? For the rest of us, we take swimming lessons, front crawl, breast stroke. Do you know some ants can swim too? Do you think they do backstroke? Do you know some of them are asexual? They clone themselves. Do you know giraffes only have a bottom teeth? Do you know about giant Germans? Giant German rabbits ease hunger in North Korea. She dreams of a super giraffe who speaks many, many languages. The giraffe moves into a new house. The new house was once an old house, belonged to an aunt. The house smells dust. The giraffe sneezes 5 times. The giraffe bangs the head against door frames 2 times. The giraffe bangs the head against ceilings 3 times. 5 plus 2 plus 3. Is 10. And the 10 cardboard boxes. The giraffe opens the boxes and wonders, in order of languages, in order of authors, or in order of colors. Colors it is. Being a giraffe, the giraffe picks the color beige. The heaviest and the biggest one goes on the very bottom. The lighter and the smaller one goes on top of the heaviest and the biggest one. The giraffe falls asleep. That is a very good thing about being a giraffe. A beige island sits in the middle of the dusty pink room. The beige island grows and grows. It becomes a sculpture. The beige sculpture grows and grows. It becomes a statue. The beige statue grows and grows. It meets the ceiling. The new pillar looks a lot like the giraffe. The shape, the height, and the color, good. The giraffe makes a very good cup of tea. The giraffe lights a cigarette. Green this time. The heaviest and the biggest one goes on the very bottom. The lighter and the smaller one goes on top of the heaviest and the biggest one. And so forth and so forth. Many rooms within a room, many houses within a house. No place to sleep, the giraffe checks into a hotel. How are you? The hotel receptionist asks. Some things cannot be translated, the giraffe answers. The hotel receptionist stares at the giraffe. The receptionist smiles at the giraffe, know it all. The receptionist puts his glasses back on. In the hotel room, the super giraffe wonders which language to laugh with. Moo. Moo.